Alrighty, I'll call the meeting to order, so welcome to those attending tonight, appreciate y'all coming out. So y'all stand with me for the invocation, and I'll pray, and I'll call the meeting to order. You pray with me, please. Dear Lord, just thank you for the many blessings you've given each one of us in the town of Stallings. We give you all the praise and glory, and thank you for doing that. Be with us tonight, and guide us and lead us, and as we try to make the best decisions for the town of Stallings. Be with our men and women in uniform, protecting our town, and here and abroad as well. And of course, be with our leaders as they make decisions about the virus and what's best for our nation, and taking care of those people that come down with it. But everything we do and say, give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Alrighty, we had one person sign up for a public comment, so Ms. Rubin, if you'll come to the podium there and state your name and address and tell us what's on your mind.
My name is Joyce Rupert. I'm from 3026 Fraser Place, Matthew Stallings. I'm on Morningside. 3026 Fraser Place.
In Morningside?
Yes.
Alrighty.
I bought my house in 2005. Moved here full time 2010 when I retired. I'm tired of looking at the two sugar shacks. I'm being nice with those words, next to McDonald's. I have people come visit me. I think it's disgusting to drive down Monroe Road and look at those two sugar shacks. It's very upsetting. We have a beautiful little town here. I walk many days from my development to the park. My husband and I are big walkers. I think the police know us all. We walk at night, 10 o'clock. We walk at night at midnight. And those sugar shacks are bothering me. Why can something not be done with them? I'm talking about Mr. Sausage Man's property.
Thank you. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I thought that I wasn't aware of, but now I understand.
Okay, I'm trying to be nice with my words, because that is a real dump. Those two are dumps. Is there anything the town can do? Can they condemn? Can they force? What can they do? One time I read in the paper he was behind with his taxes. Was it taken up by somebody else? Was there liens put on this property? I've been trying to find out what's been going on.
Well, making us aware is step one, so I wasn't aware.
You couldn't see those houses when you drive down the road? That's our main street, Monroe Road, coming into Stallings. You must not walk or you must not drive down Monroe Road. You have to be blind not to see. Trees have fell on the houses. There was people living under a garage thing there. There was people living in there. There's been how many cop times there? I mean, the cops, for a while there, I don't think there's anybody living there now. For a while there, it was in the paper every day, every week, about the cops being at those houses.
These are the two houses that I talked about when we were in, when we had our retreat, that I said, people come by and say, dude, you live in that town?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if y'all remember that, but it's the same two houses. I mean, and Alex and I have spoke briefly about it, so we know. Yeah.
I'm not trying to be uppity. I know I lived in New York for 40 years. I was raised on a farm in Iowa, but we did not have houses like that in our area. You bulldozed them, or you went to the neighbor, and you talked to him. This is embarrassing. We have people come visit it. We're not from this area. We only have a son that lives around here. So we have people visit. But you guys say to them, oh yeah, about a mile from the McDonald's. And then you say, oh my God, I hope they don't look at the McDonald's, and just keep driving. And then I had another subject. Last year in May 2019, I had to go up to New York. While I was gone, the town of Stallings decided to dig up my backyard. Never a letter, never a notification. They put a 7-foot gully 3 feet deep in my backyard. Mr. Ernst knew it was going to happen. Not one letter came to us because we had a water problem. We were being flooded out every time it rained. I've called Mr. Ernst. He sent some young man down to look. We're still not happy. They dug up my backyard. His answer to me was, you have a shed without a permit. That's not my problem. That shed was sitting on that property when I bought it in 2005. That house and shed is paid in full. So how did we get a title on that property if that shed does not have a permit? I found out that there was some quick maneuvers by a builder when that house was being built in 2000. And he came in and he put down a slab and the homeowner put up a shed. We didn't know that. We bought the house in 2005. Now he's telling me that I'm not within the 10-foot, that you own 10 feet, even though I paid taxes on it. You own the first 10 feet on that property. We are still being flooded and we still have water. When we were gone, they came on our property for 10 days. They came across our property with a bulldozer. My neighbor called me in New York the 17th of May and said to me, or no, he texted me, they're starting the project on Monday. What project? Oh, they're gonna dig in the back to make the water flow. Never a letter from Mr. Ernst. But when I contacted Mr. Ernst, he had the nerve to tell me, well, you don't have a permit on that property, on that shed, and it's within 10 feet. It's on the 7-foot line. So why would you come on my property without proper notification? Tell me what's gonna be done.
When was this again?
May 2019.
Who's Mr. Ernst?
Isn't he somebody that's an engineer or something here? Chris Ernst?
No. Easterly.
What is it?
Easterly.
Oh, Easterly? Okay. Well, is he the man that would be make the decisions of what was being done on the property?
Potentially. Steve and I work on the stormwater committee, so if you wouldn't mind just reaching out to myself and Steve, we're happy to work with you to kind of get the bottom of it.
You can come down and see where I fell in the ditch yesterday trying to mow my lawn. I never have seen anything like it. I'm from the farm. Why would you do a 7-foot wide, 3-foot gully in the back of somebody's yard and never speak to them? And when I make complaints, he sent a young boy down, some young guy that just joined the force last year here in May. They got stuck in this job.
I just live in the neighborhood beside theirs. Well, two neighborhoods over, so I could.
You have my number. Give me a call on my phone number, or give me a call on myself. You can come down and take a walk in my backyard. Come when it's raining and look at the river.
Okay.
Thank you, Ms. Rupert, for letting us know.
But please look into those little sugar shacks.
All righty, next up is our consent agenda approval, so there's quite a few there. Did anybody have any changes, amendments, or pull one of them out?
Is this the minutes of the meeting approval?
Right, the consent agendas, because some of them are closed session special.
Yeah, I did notice one. January 13th, 2020.
The regular meeting or closed session?
Regular. Mm-hmm. Item 4, True Homes. It's a minor thing, but you got Phil Hayes as the applicant. I think he was with a different project. Phil Hayes did the upcon. This was someone else from True Homes. I don't know who that was, but for the record. And that's just approved already.
All right. Thanks for doing that. Appreciate pointing it out. Can we make that change?
It's just that.
All right. Any other changes? Amendments? All right, can I get a motion then on all 9 items?
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
All right. Can I get a second? Second by Mr. Shaw. Motion by Mr. Ayers to approve all the consent agenda. All in favor, please raise your hand. And that's unanimous. All right. All right, reports from Mayor. As y'all know, Matt McCauley came to town and did a tour with him, me and Alex. Saturday morning, Glenda couldn't make it, she was under the weather, and he thought it was quite beneficial. What he was looking for first was areas that he thought could be redeveloped. As Alex mentioned in his presentation, redevelopment doesn't come very fast. You know, you have to wait for that, whatever that area is, to deteriorate to the point that somebody wants to come in and redevelop it. And Mac agreed with what said exactly what Alex said there, you know, 5 to 10 years, you know, maybe some of these areas that we'd like to redevelop. Second thing he was looking at is, you know, one area that interested him was the spotted Pleasant Plains. We all know that's going to be available for commercial development once the road gets wide and the intersection gets approved. But overall, what he said to me was he was impressed with our town by the standard of our neighborhoods. He thought they were, he didn't realize the median income for Stallings is $94,000, which is much more than many of the surrounding towns. So we've got a lot of good things going on here, and we appreciate the time. So I thought it was well worth it. So he's met with Alex, he's met with Melanie, and so we'll see where it takes us. That's all I have, so I'll start. Linda, you got anything?
I don't have a report tonight.
And John?
Just real briefly, I sent you all an email, but I wanted to make the public aware that the NC legislature is looking at putting a bill together that will pull some of the municipality's ability to make ass of the developments coming to town. So, something to be aware of. Bill sponsored by Mark Brody. I've had a couple emails with him, but definitely research it as it's something that may impact you in the future.
Yeah, thank you for sending that out. I called Dean Art, and as soon as you send it out to me, he hasn't returned my call. And I'm sure he's embarrassed about what Mark's proposing there. It says right there Mark's a local building contractor, so it looks like he bought the paid for it. Yeah, I'm looking at it. I don't know Mr. Brody very well. So. Thanks for sending that out. Brad?
No report.
David?
We had our first Central Atlantic COG meeting. Central Atlantic Council of Governments. Always just call it COG. Last month, it was a good meeting. Union County was pretty well represented. New folks that were newly elected in their first meetings. In the COG, sometimes it's a lot of minutiae that we do and listen to, but this one actually had some pretty interesting statistics that I'll bring up in another meeting, but not today. They also sponsored at the airport a regional mobility initiative called Connect Beyond that you may have seen on the news. It was pretty well advertised in the news and on social media. It was basically talking about what we're going to do in the next 10, 20 years transportation wise in the region. And since we've begun the process of looking for the light rail line coming through, possibly coming through Stallings on further into Union County, the fact that I was the only elected official from Union County there. There were a couple of staff people from Union County government there, but if this is something we're really going to push, we need to have the rest of the county, or at least those affected, start representing as well. And that's it. It was a pretty good long meeting with a lot of detail, a lot of politicians and experts in the field talking about what can be done and what are the options.
Well, appreciate you attending. Heather?
Nothing.
All right, Stephen?
I'm good.
All righty. Then the reports from town manager, anything for us?
Yes, very briefly. New town hall. My goal is to have the next council meeting in March in the new town hall. The outside construction work is mostly done. As you can see, we're getting close to finishing the parking lot out there. And there's still some column posts that need to be put on there, and the big seal out front still needs to be put up. But other than that, most of the exterior work is done. All the work being done now, other than that, is mostly interior, IT, AV, and again, we're estimating about 2 to 3 weeks, which would hopefully put us in that second week in March for that council meeting. One construction project is closing, another one is beginning with our second floor renovations to rejigger the space up here. We are looking, notice proceed to start work with the contractor March the 30th. We have met as a team and met with our contractor and developed a tentative plan. with the goal being to continue to sustain operations efficiently and effectively and safely, continue services to the public, while at the same time having up here worked on. So we'll have to continue to be flexible up here. There may be some interruptions from time to time, but I think our team feels like we've got a tentative plan in place that would, from a broad perspective, address a lot of those issues and meet that goal. The next thing I wanted to bring up is we continue with our performance evaluation systems to go through the education process with our staff. Specifically, we're doing the supervisory training. It's over several weeks. And looking at a 4 to 5 month, it's not a pilot period, but really a test period, if you will, for the town. The idea being, before we go live with it, we want to work out the kinks, get everybody practice with performance evaluation before we go live with it late fall, early winter of this year. So wanted to share that with you. And finally, had several conversations, and when it comes to council meetings, I know at times it can be hard to keep track of the special meetings, especially around budget time, because this is really meeting season for us. Would it be helpful to the council if we sent out Microsoft Calendar invites for the meetings? Would that be helpful in helping y'all know and organize? Okay. So we'll start doing that for regular and special council meetings then. So, and that's all I've got. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. Chief, you got anything for us?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I know you're on the agenda. Sergeant Davis, you got anything? I just put you on the spot.
I'm here with Ashley, but she's got something.
Okay.
Anything for us, sir?
All right, thank you. Appreciate everything you do over at school.
Thank you, sir.
All righty, so next up is the agenda approval. Any changes, deletions, additions? If not, can I ask your motion to approve the agenda? Motion by Ms. Grooms.
Second.
Second by Mr. Richardson. All in favor? And that's unanimous. All right. First up is our committee reappointments. And we need to go down committee by committee. Historical committee has has three citizen members and two council members. I know one of the citizen members might be dropping off, so if you know if somebody wants to be on that, that might be something to pursue. Next up is we have Park and Rec. Mr. Bill Smith and Aiden Norris are applying to be reappointed through 3/31/22. And then we have a youth applicant, Mr. Thomas Ayers, son of Stephen Ayers. He's been on it before, correct?
Yeah, he's just continuing.
He's just continuing. So let's take the Park and Rec reappointment. So both of those three people, we can do it in one motion.
Mayor, I move to approve reappointment of Bill Smith, Alden Norris, and Stephen Ayers.
Thomas.
Thomas
Sayers.
All
right, motion by Ms. Paxton. Second by who?
Take it.
Eight
for you.
Mr. Shaw.
I got both.
And to approve the reappointment Bill Smith, is it Aiden or Alden?
Aiden.
Aiden, that's what I thought, yeah. So, can we do that? And Thomas Ayers. All in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you all. Next up is we'll do this in two sections for the planning board. We have Rocky Crenshaw and Jack Hudson applying to be reappointed. So I hear a motion on that. Motion.
Motion to approve both of them for a reappointment, both Rocky and Jack.
And second by Mr. Martin. Motion by Mr. Shaw. Any discussion on that? All in favor? As you know. All right, next up is the one seat we have left open on the planning board, the second alternate. So Aaron gave you all the ballot. And we have Mr. John Delgado and Bob Reagan are here. John, if you'd like to come up and say a few words.
Sure.
Hi, everyone. I'm John Delgado. I'm at 809 Clonmel Drive in Shannamara. I've been in Shannamara for a little over 3 years. My wife teaches at Stallings Elementary, and I'm a business consultant. I've worked in the logistics industry, and I've been speaking with Wyatt about what you guys do and the planning board, and I'd be very interested to assist in any way and be an alternate or help out in any way I can.
Any questions?
Just curious, if you're not appointed to this board, would you be interested in the economic development board as your business partner?
Sure. Absolutely.
All right. Any other questions? All right. Thank you, John. Appreciate you coming out there. Mr. Reagan?
Hi, I'm Robert Reagan, 5000 Cinnamon Drive. I'm sure all of you know me, been here quite a bit lately, but I am interested in serving on the planning board. I'm interested in helping the town grow responsibly and, you know, make sure that we're following the rules that we've already set. That's been probably one of the things I've maybe had the most complaints about, is that I didn't feel we were actually following our own rules. And I don't really care what the rules are, as you guys set the rules, as long as they're set properly. I'd like to make sure that we follow the rule book and deliver what the town really wants.
All right. Any questions from Mr. Reagan? Go ahead, Brent.
Yeah, I'll ask an obvious one about Bob. Thank you, you're my neighbor. I appreciate you. Talk to me or us about your ability to work with staff, given that there was a lawsuit against the town and you had some issues with personnel, staff. Just talk about that for a moment, would you mind?
Okay. I've never actually worked face-to-face with any of the staff. No, I've communicated quite frequently, with Ms. Nichols and then of course Ms. Hare as well and Mr. Sewell. So I've communicated with these people via email, and I think I've been respectful in my email communications with them, and I don't see a problem with working with these people. The planning board reports to the town council, and the staff supports the planning board the way I read the article number 4, and so I don't have any issue with that.
All right. Well, that was the same question I was going to ask. Appreciate you being sharing your thoughts with us here, Bob. Anybody else? Any other questions? All right. Thank you, Bob. And then the third candidate is on, you see on the ballot there, is, how do you pronounce her last name?
Her name is Lori Lejeunesse. Just say Lori W.
Lori W. And she's not here tonight?
She's not, because she took her grandson down to watch the Mets do their training camp.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about it, other than what you saw on her application?
So I met Lori. She's a neighbor of mine. We worked together in our neighborhood HOA. And she's from New York. She was a town planner for 20 years there. And her degree is in geography, and she just really said that she enjoyed what she did being a town planner, loved what she did. She's retired now, and would like the opportunity to get back into it.
Mm-hmm. What neighborhood?
In Fairhaven.
All righty. Well, with that said, I have the tally sheet here. Aaron told me that's the way we usually do it. The mayor tallies it up, but all the these we're voting by ballot this time. These are public record, but they'll pass them to me, and I'll tally them up.
I had the water somewhere.
I'd just like to say that I think this is the first time we've ever had this many applicants for an alternate position. I think that speaks to the level of interest that people are taking in the town and in the development. So I'm pleased to have more people applying, and I hope we can get some additional people for some of these other committees that have vacancies as well. So if you know somebody that would like to be a little more participant in the town, we'd love to have them apply. We have about six different committees, and there basically are vacancies on almost all of them.
All righty. Well, the vote winner with four votes is Laura W. So Heather, if you can let her know. And I'm sure Aaron will be in contact. John, I look forward to you being on the Economic Development Committee. And Bob, I certainly value all the analysis you've done over the past year, and I hope that keeps coming, because it's valuable to me, and I think it's valuable to the rest of the committee or the council.
I'll be around.
All right, so thank you. All righty. All righty, next up is the take-home vehicle policy, Chief Franks. I'm sorry, you did. Thank y'all. All right, next up is stormwater, Reinhardt Whitman. Can I get a motion for him reapplying?
So moved.
Second. Motion by Mr. Martin, second by Mr. Shaw.
Josh, you can all approve.
Oh, okay. All in favor? That's unanimous. And then for transportation, same thing, Larry Falco applying for reappointment for a term to extend to 3/31/22. Can I get a motion?
Move to appoint Larry Falco.
All right, motion by Ms. Paxton, second by Mr. Richardson, all in favor? And that's unanimous. All right, thank y'all. Now then, Chief Franks.
Congratulations on your paperwork. I had to call down there because I lost it. So we sat here for a couple of weeks. Mayor, Council, I appreciate you letting me speak to you tonight. Sort of the first 2 months that I was here with the police department, I spent a lot of time at night doing ride-alongs with the officers, just getting to know them, letting them get to know me. And one of the things that kept coming forward is I asked, what do you need? What would you like to see? You have to be careful when you ask, what do you want? Or what do you need? One of the things that kept repeating as a theme was our take on vehicle policy. Currently, the town's take on vehicle policy says that officers are limited to a 15-mile radius. We have some officers, and I think it's 2015, are grandfathered into a 35-mile radius. So we have quite a discrepancy in. If someone's been here for a long time, they can go 35 miles. If you're newer, you can only go 15 with your take-home car. What I'd like to propose tonight is that we amend the take-home vehicle policy from 15 to 25. The grandfather clause would remain the same for those that have been here a long time. They're in that 35-mile radius, excuse me. And the rule on that is if someone that's been grandfathered into the 35-mile radius, if they were to move, they would fall to the 15 miles. So even though they're that far out, once they move to a different location, they would be under the new rule of 15 miles. Our recommendation is that they would, if they move from the 35, they have to fall in that 25. And the only other thing I would like to recommend on that is that radius extends in the state of South Carolina. I would recommend that South Carolina is exempt. We work for the town of Stallings in North Carolina. I think you should leave your vehicle in the state of North Carolina. But just some of the benefits of this. I've already had some people that are interested in jobs with the Stallings Police Department ask what our vehicle mileage is. You know, and I say, well, it's 15 miles. And they're saying, okay, you know, they're just curious what it is. We'll take it further down. We'll talk about the industry standard in this area. It allows for higher visibility. These folks take their cars home. They go to extra duty, go to court, special events. We see their cars out and about, so Stallings gets a little name recognition. And when there's kids or college students that want to be police officers and they see those cars, they, oh, Stallings. And
it gives them an idea to look on the website. Next thing you know, we're getting emails or phone calls. People wanting to come work here. Matter of fact, today I had a student at East Carolina email me about doing an internship over the summer to finish up his graduation requirements. You know, that higher visibility, as we all know, visibility is the first line in crime prevention. People will always say, I don't do something because I know the police are here or I see the police cars everywhere. So that's an important piece. Quicker response time. So right now, if you live outside the boundary, you can park your car. Usually it's a fire station. So they park that car. They have to take out some of those that high value equipment, long guns, those types of things. They don't leave those locked in the car. So they keep those secured, certain equipment, computers, pull those out, they go home. If they get called in the middle of the night or have to come back for something, they have to drive back to that location, put all that stuff back in, secure it, get their computer fired up. So a little bit of expeditiousness would help for a quicker response. Saves on overtime. Right now, officers can, or they would be able to head straight home from a call. The shifts, the officers work 4:30 in the morning to 4:30 in the afternoon and vice versa. So 4:30 a.m. if they're getting done with a call, they can head straight home. And vice versa, you know, coming in. If we have an emergency, we're calling someone in. Instead of driving to a fire station, getting their car, then coming in service, it's straight in to right to work, going straight to the call. No need to check in anywhere. They just go in service over the radio and they're ready to go. The biggest thing for me is industry standard in North Carolina. I used a survey that Matthews had done in 2019. And this was pretty telling. And I'll read through this real quick. Mecklenburg County has a 50-mile radius from the sheriff's office. Matthews, Waxhaw, Pineville is all 25, Mint Hill, 27. Salisbury is 30. Union County and Monroe, it's anywhere within the 640 square miles of Union County. So really, in this area, industry standard is about 25 miles. In Alamance County, where I come from, that's the standard of 25 miles also, other than some sheriff's offices, as long as you're bordering a county that's in the county you're working in, you're fine, which would be much more than 25 miles. That's really the long and short of this presentation. Not a lot of meat to it. We always want to get top quality candidates. If they talk to Matthews and know they can take their car 25 miles, we say 15. Some might say, well, I want to go where I can take my car further home. And it's really an important piece to keep us competitive. Although this is a great police department, my 2 months here, you know, Sergeant Davis, this is a good group of hardworking police officers. So to me, again, this is a theme that kept presenting itself when I was riding with the officers at night. And this really puts us with the industry standard, and that's one of the most important things, is that we can be competitive with our surrounding agencies. I used this number, and it was 2016, North Carolina certified 1,500 police officers. 2018, that number dropped to 500. It is the market to get top quality police officers is extremely tough. So if we can add one more little perk to getting a high quality officer, come apply here and want to be part of this team, I'm all for it. I'll do whatever I can to get us to hit that standard. All right. So any questions from the council?
Questions for Chief?
Well, I think recruiting officers is really important, and I'm going to support this, but I'm just curious, with your ride-alongs with them, do we have a lot of officers who are in that 10-mile difference between 15 miles
and 20? So right now, that would impact about four officers that are currently working here.
Right.
But we know we've got a couple of retirements. We know as the town continues to grow, as the hospital grows, the police department will eventually need to expand with it. So that could include hiring more officers. So as we're trying to recruit not just replacements but new officers, we want to be able to throw that number out and say you have this benefit, because it really is a benefit. Take home a car is a benefit, but right now it's about three or four officers.
Thank you.
I think his answer actually covered my questions. I mean, based on that there, at least for the foreseeable future, it's not going to be that big of a cost to maintain these vehicles or the extra mileage or anything like that there. And then the second piece of it is, you know, obviously now when you've got a station, you're constantly having police come in and out. But if it's only affecting four officers, we're still going to have quite a few people coming in and out. So I guess that, does that mean everybody else except for those four right now take their cars home?
So we have, like I said, we have three right now that take their cars to that 15 mile and park it. But one of a good example is we have an officer that is just got married, is looking for a house. Well, he's currently living in South Carolina. Knowing that he will be able to take his car further looking for a house except South Carolina, he's looking up here instead. So to me, it's a benefit to keep officers in the state also. But yeah, right now it's, and we've got a couple that live, for example, we have one in Matthews who's living in an apartment. Well, when he decides to purchase a house, it gives him more options when he's looking for a house.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Now, this is a motion. So right now, they're not allowed to go into South Carolina. So we don't need to make a motion on that, or do we?
Ben, help me out on that, because I don't think we have anyone.
Listen,
the locations where they are exceeds the 15 miles. So right. Most of the ones, we have two in South Carolina that park in North Carolina.
Let's just go ahead and whoever makes the motion to include the vehicle has to stay in North Carolina.
Ready for a motion?
Yeah, John.
I would make the motion to amend the town of Stallings vehicle use policy to extend it from 15 miles to 25 miles with the condition that the car not leave the state of North Carolina.
Motion by Mr. Martin, second by Ms. Paxton. All in favor? That's unanimous. All right, thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
All right, next up is Pivot Road Park. Ashley?
What'd you do? You killed it.
It looks like I did.
Over there, sir. Give me just one moment. While we are getting ready for this, I would just like to take a minute and let everyone know that our new special event coordinator begins next Monday. So her name is Eunice McSwain. She is coming from Cramerton Parks and Recreation.
Ashley, you email.
I'm just trying to get it to close so I can get the other thing back up.
Yeah, actually, is she going to be able to make it to the meeting tomorrow?
No. She will not. No, she doesn't start till Monday, the 16th.
Sometimes so, people will show up anyway. But I'm just curious.
It's, how do I get out of this?
Okay. Yeah.
I will bring her to the next meeting. Start with the request that we have and then kind of go back into the history of how we got to where we are and then some ideas for moving forward and show you the progress, some photos of the progress that we've made on this property so far. So our current strategy we're requesting is to install a concrete pad, a couple walking paths, purchase and install grills, and place picnic tables on the property in order to host National Night Out in August. And then we're also gonna work on a plan on how to include playground equipment and eventually a shelter covering, which we are currently working through a possibility of a couple Eagle Scout projects, possibly a community build, and then there are playground matching grants available out there as well. We're just waiting for them to reopen for the 2020 year.
So I've asked Sergeant Davis to be here and give us the history of this property, especially since we started this back in, when did you guys start this, 2017.
It was issued. So as y'all know, 3900 Privet Road was a drug house. It was a problem house from the time that our agency started. The county had problems with it before. Repeated calls out there. We've had sexual assaults. We've had serious physical assaults. We've had a homicide out there at that property. Detective Steve Brown and Stallings Police Department were finally able to work with the state to get a nuisance abatement and basically get the house turned over and bulldozed. And that happened in January of 2018. As part of that, that property became now part of the town, and the town has that property. During the time we were out there, we had a lot of interaction with the community, and they were, one, very thankful that we were able to get rid of that house. Our call volume has dropped off a ledge in that neighborhood in the Spring Hill community since we've been able to get rid of that house. And the main drug dealer, the main guy that was facilitating it, is in federal prison as well as a result of that. So that neighborhood has been cleaned up and it's turned around drastically. We still have a few occasional barking dogs or an occasional domestic disturbance or a suspicious person, but this type of and serious nature of calls that we used to have out there are non-existent anymore. The community, when they were coming up talking to us, thanking us for doing that, we're kind of asking, what are y'all going to do with it? And we told them, you know, what would you like to see? And they said they'd like to see some kind of a park there. We ended up doing a survey, which Ashley will talk to you more about. Steve Brown, Detective Sergeant with us. Ashley and I went out there on foot, walked around to the neighborhood, knocked on every door, talked to every person we could, hung door hangers up, surveyed the entire community about what they wanted. And overwhelmingly, the feedback we got was that they wanted some kind of a park, some place to gather as a community. We do National Night Out each year. We do it in any neighborhood that wants to participate in Stallings. And I would really love to be able to host a National Night Out in the Spring Hill community this year. And that's what kind of our push is, to get this area not a complete full playground and full this and everything. That's going to be things that could be phased in over time. But just an area where we could host a National Night Out and invite members of the community to come out as sort of a celebration of the fact that we got rid of something bad that was there and replaced it with something that's good. And that's as simple of a concept as I can make it. That's just simply what we're trying to do. And Ashley and I have worked on trying to develop an incremental plan to make that happen without costing the town any additional money, without putting any additional burden on our Parks and Rec staff. So with that little bit of history, I'll turn it back over to Ashley.
Thanks. The council actually in 2018, as part of the budget process, approved about $7,500 in funds where we went out and actually, here's pictures of the property before when the house was still there. And then on the left are the $7,500 worth of funds, removed the rest of the housing debris, regraded the property, addressed some stormwater concerns in the front, and then also seeded for grass. So on the right, you see now we have a level, nice grass field. The only maintenance we have with it is occasional tree and limb debris pickup, trash occasionally that, you know, gets stuck in the grass, and then of course cutting the grass, which is on our normal regular schedule. We don't anticipate any additional maintenance necessary here at this point. When we install the picnic areas, we're still going by there regularly to pick up trash. We're still going by there to cut the grass. We're not installing any kind of bathroom facilities. And we already service the grills here in Stallings Park with a hot coal container, and it's about this big, so it just has to be emptied once a month, essentially, once people dump their coal from here, which we're already doing for the other parks as well. So we had a PowerPoint version of a layout here because, you know, I'm not an engineer or anything, but basically what we're looking for is eventually to put a fence around the property. One, it protects our interest as a town, protects the neighbors around as well. Once you have kids running through there, which they already are playing football, you know, you want to make sure that we're good neighbors. So it's not going to be like a decorative fence, but definitely something to secure the property. Also to keep vehicles from driving in there. It's an open lot. People sometimes tend to try to find extra parking spots. So we want to prevent that, especially once we start having picnics there, because it is very convenient to just drive your truck right on up into the park area. Sometimes we have issues with that here in Stallings Park, but we, you know, we're really good about making sure that we educate people when stuff like that happens. So a fence would prevent that. The two black dots in the bottom are the lighting poles that are already there. We'd like to work with the power company to have lights installed there. That would light the property at night. That way it's just, you know, one more measure of safety for everyone involved. We don't want to take down any of the trees, and we want to reserve part of the property for possibly future playground equipment. Our playground manufacturers work really closely with us, let us know when they have deals, or say a municipality orders a piece of equipment, it comes in the wrong color, they have to reorder it. They'll offer that piece at a discount to their customers first. That way you can, you know, purchase that probably half the price of what you would normally get it. So in the future, when we decide to do something else here, there are definitely great options available to us. Disney has a program called Meet Me at the Parks, which they partner with NRPA, and it's a granted program where you can actually do a proposal to come in and design a little park. We think our project would be a great candidate, especially because of the story that goes behind it, for some kind of investment with something like that. And then there's another playground company called Kaboom that does a matching grant to help out with these types of projects. So if we all agree that this is something that we'd like to look into in the future, then we can start putting feelers out there for grant projects in the next couple of years and see what we get from there. Any questions?
You said the fence would not be decorated.
That was my
sorry.
Yeah, we don't want a chain link.
No, not. But when I say decorative, I mean like the wrought iron fence we have in front of Stallings Park. We're not going to go that level with it. Those fences are rather expensive. Something like you see here, I think, would be appropriate. Not a wooden fence because those tend to degrade over time. But like what we have on the property next door with the right next to Town Hall, the white kind of fence look. I think that would be way better than just a chain link fence.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. I meant not like the, you know, with the brick posts and the sliding gates like we have in front of Stallings Park. That was probably a $50,000 fence right there. I don't want the whole playground to cost that much.
I do think it's important to have visibility through the fence, though. I think
yes.
The next door is solid, isn't it? Isn't that a solid vinyl fence next door?
It is, yes.
But I don't think you'd want to do that in that location.
So right, there
what
are.
What budget are you looking at for what you want to do immediately?
For what we want to do immediately, with the concrete work, the picnic tables, and the grills, somewhere between $5,000 and $10,000, depending on what we get back on what we need to do for sidewalks. We're not trying to put in a ton of sidewalks, but we want to make sure we're ADA compliant. So we may need to pave the entryway and have a sidewalk path that goes to a concrete slab. Yes, and that's already within my budget for this year.
We're not asking for any additional funds to begin the project. We're asking to use funds that are already available for this project. But with the vision of going ahead and moving forward towards a more complete park in the next couple of years.
We might be able to accomplish the fencing depending on what quotes we get back at more towards the end of this fiscal year, depending on how much money we save in our spring redo of the park playgrounds. We have to get mulch in there every year. So sometimes that price comes back a little cheaper than what we budgeted. So as that goes through, we just kind of want to piece this together as we have the funds available.
All righty.
Well,
just one more please.
Sure. I mean, I guess in some older parks, when you've got just a square slab over time, it starts to look kind of, it kind of shows its age. Is there a plan to just put a square slab, or are we thinking more decorative type? I guess just thinking about this park's going to be pretty small, just how we might be able to upscale it a little bit to look a little nicer than it might with maybe some type of, I hate to say decorative slab, but just not like a square slab out in the middle of a field. Just,
it'll have picnic tables on it.
I know that. I just, over time, the, I mean, that...
Well, and it'll eventually be a covered shelter as well, with like your four pillars on the side and the cover okay. on top. So, and then that is meant to be a part of our overall plan of incorporating okay. it with the playground. So everything aesthetically will look pleasing. And also, Ms. Paxton, to answer your question, everything we do as far as the fence and the trees, things of that nature, will be SEPTED, crime prevention through environmental design compliant.
Yes.
That's one thing that I'm certified in, so I'll make sure that we have everything lit well, that we have everything properly installed so that we can see that it's high visibility but also low liability as far as safety goes. So I understand exactly what you're saying. We'll make sure that the park is designed in that manner so that it's safe for the people that are there, but it's also highly visible, and it lowers our risk of crime and nefarious activity going on, but it makes it highly visible and yet it's still safe. Those are all things that we definitely have incorporated or will incorporate into our future plans. So, if that answers your question or y'all's questions.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Well, since the money's in the budget, I'm sure staff would like the council to weigh in or have an approval. So, do we have a consensus on doing this? All right, so
thank you.
I mean, that's up to you and Alex. On the council fully supports this, but I'll let you and Alex manage the project.
Yeah, I'd like to mention that Ryan Ridgway, one of our park maintenance people, is heavily involved in the Boy Scouts, and he has had two or three Eagle Scout candidates approach him wanting to do projects for the town, and I think this would be a really good candidate for that, whether they're building the shelter or the picnic tables. If you've been into the back portion of Stallings Park, there is a more decorative slabbed area that was an Eagle Scout project that we haven't covered yet. That could also be some kind of option out here as well.
Where's his troop at? Do you know?
Indian Trail.
Yeah, because Troop 65 with Melissa Merrill. You know, she's the BOE
yeah.
chairwoman. She's involved in Troop 65 in Mint Hill. They have a ton of Eagles.
Yeah, they've done a couple projects with us yeah, in the park so, as well.
Pass it to ask one more question, Mayor.
Sure.
Alex gave me a copy of the judgment order, which I will point out that in the transfer of the title of the town, this was supposed to be and agreed to be a park, right? So we don't have a choice to sell it for anything else. But I just noted that it's a memorial park. Is there any sense that this is a memorial park to Evelyn Lee, or does that come up at all in any conversations? I'm just trying to get understanding.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, tell me about that.
The lady that used to live there, Miss Evelyn,
yeah.
was the original property owner of 3900 Fribbert Road.
Right.
One of the last good folks to live there, if I can be perfectly blunt. Part of what we talked to the community about is, would you like to see this park named in honor of Miss Evelyn, who used to live there, was a really good lady and a staple of that community? Would you like to see it named after someone in the town? Would you like to see it named Stallings Community Park? We did that as part of our survey, and what we got back from the community was that they would just like to see it named like Spring Hill Community Park. They want it to be part of the community. That's what the residents who live there actually wanted. So what that was just one of those things when we were talking to people and going over the history of this property. How do you want this remembered? Do you want her name involved in it as a memorial type park, or do you want this to be the Spring Hill Community Park? And overwhelmingly, our respondents from the survey said they want it to be called Spring Hill Community Park, if that answers your question.
And that meets the terms of the decree. I just want
to... I don't know. I mean, part of the agreement with the heirs and the fact that they said they were willing to sign off on the consent judgment as opposed to making us go to court to get it was that there was an agreement to do something to honor.
Well,
I mean, I think it could be a small
bench. The first thing we build could be in honor of her. It could be the
as long as her name's
shelter.
On something, you know, it could
yeah.
be a small little plaque.
Yeah,
I don't think it has
fine.
To be the whole park
that's
being named
for her. Who she was,
and I think that would be a reasonably good solution if we named the picnic shelter the first thing we put in her honor and make it the Stall or the Spring Hill Community Park and make that shelter in honor of her. I think we'd meet the legal requirements.
Correct.
And we meet the community's desire to have it be their park, so they take ownership in it.
And then the last question, the ownership record at the tax accounting level is kind of confusing, but it doesn't have our name on it. So could you talk about it? Is it being transferred, not transferred? Is it a strange thing we'll talk about later?
Yes. There.
we tried to find it.
It's ours. We had a deed, and they got maybe half the signatures on it. They were able to get signatures of the defendants that were in prison, jail, federal prison, but a lot of the other defendants... We got them to
sign
the order
yeah.
to get their signatures. It's been like a 3 or 4 year process. Yeah.
triggers.
All righty, Ashley, Ben, thank y'all for all your work on this.
Thank you.
All right, next up is our closed session for some of the North Carolina Dental Statute 143.318.11A3 and 6. Can I get a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Shovel, second by Mr. Ayers. All in favor? That's unanimous. All right. Let's wait a minute. See if you can read it. Yeah, we're going into closed session for 30 minutes or so, and then we'll be back.
Thank y'all so much.
There's no really no more meeting after this.
Thank you.
Motion by Mr. Shoal, second by Ms. Paxton to suspend the rules to add an agenda item. And Melanie, could you restate that for us, please?
This is regarding the conditional rezoning CZ 19.08.01, which allowed for the development of a 13.82 acre 27-inch lot restricted subdivision that was approved by the town council on January 27, 2020. There was some questions from the applicant and his attorney regarding condition number 7, the easement or right-of-way that needed to be donated for widening purposes. And condition number 7 doesn't state where that 53.5 is to be measured from. The applicant is agreeable to doing a 60-foot right-of-way, if that's something that the council all agrees with. And so we can just change the language to be the Chestnut Lane right-of-way. 60 feet will be donated by the developer to NCDOT for future widening purposes.
All right, thank you. I've got a motion.
So move.
So we got a motion from Ms.
Paxton,
second by Mr. Richardson. What's your comment?
My comment is that does that, I mean, the whole reason why we're evaluating this is that it's a little bit confusing. I mean, by changing the number, I'm not really sure that clarifies the confusion.
Basically, where's the right way measured from?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of seems like we need a couple of extra words in there to kind of clarify.
Why don't we comply with the DOT definition for the right of way?
Perhaps it's just clarifying that the total right of way for the road from each side to each side is 60 feet.
Yeah, I mean,
the total existing right of way.
Yeah, and as indicated on the Chestnut Lane subdivision sketch plan.
It's just something that. I mean, if we just change the number, it doesn't seem like it clarifies it.
Where you're measuring it from.
Yeah, I think something.
Sure.
Well, actually, it would be measured 30 feet from the center line.
Yeah. That's DOT standard.
So, I guess I can amend the motion at this point.
Okay, but I wanted to,
the intent is to have the developer donate sufficient right-of-way to actually do that right-of-way already exists. So I don't guess we're asking him to donate him, because it is currently a 60-foot right-of-way.
So I would offer, too, I believe this is one of those weird rural situations where I believe actually some of the ownership is to the center line, so I think we'd be covered there.
Right, yeah.
And instead of amending the motion, going through all that mess, can you just add some more comments in the minutes when they come up?
Sure. Well, and I think it's a given that, I mean, I can put in there that 60 foot of right of way means 30 foot from center line.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an equal statement.
But Alex's point is certainly valid, because in that area, the property owners own to the center line. So there's not.
So
he is donating right of way.
Clarifying intent.
On that side of the center line.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
That's good
details.
Yeah, good job.
All right, we have a motion and a second on this. All in favor? And that's unanimous. All right. And then we're still suspended the rules, and then we'll add the motion on the sick leave. Somebody want to make that?
Mayor, I'll make a motion to authorize the new police chief to bring with him 31 days sick leave from his former employee to be applied in his current position.
Or
hours?
Hours.
249 hours.
Thank you.
That's rounding up.
31 days, I think it's equivalent.
Well, if you divide it by 8 hours, which you've probably done work 8 hours, don't you? All right, motion by Ms. Paxton. Can I get a second? Second by Mr. Shaw. All in favor? Please raise your hand. That's unanimous. All right, thank y'all. All righty. And I think that's it. Oh, and then,
yeah, Alex, if you could expand on the town's, you know, plans or formation plans to address business continuity in town.
Sure.
In light of the 14-day incubation period for this virus to come around.
Sure. Sure. So, I guess let me. So the second floor renovations, they didn't take that into consideration. That was maintaining operations. We're actually working on that, how we address that. Can I take that feedback and follow up with you guys on how, with coronavirus, how we would deal with that, address that? Would that be okay?
Yeah, just looking for something to kind of set expectations. If the town were to have contact with an infected individual, how do we maintain operations for a 14-day period while the employees are, you know, quarantined, for example? Yeah, and that's essentially what it is. So, man, a few words.
Okay. Were you going to try to get on this small area plan committees?
Yeah, let me do that real quick. Talking to Mac, he did not think it was a good idea for us to throw away any of them. Too much work was done, tweak them, whatever. So, but he just said some are more important than others, obviously. So the two most important ones again, and for me, were the Monroe Bypass and the Idlewild SAP. So where most of the developments occur. So I know I haven't reached out to anybody about being on those committees, but this is my recommendation. You help change it, so you're ready for it. And then I was just taking people that lived the closest to them that were affected the most. So the Monroe Bypass would be Paxton, Richardson, and Rooms. And then, so maybe that would be
Steve.
Yeah, so let me do that. Put Steve on that one. Paxton, Richardson, Ayers, and then on the Ottawa SAP, Paxton, Shaw, and Rooms.
Sorry, which one?
Ottawa. So Linda, I have you on two. Would you want to refer to somebody, or you know, you're right there in the middle of town?
Let's see how much time it takes first.
I definitely want to be on that.
Well, we can have more than three. We just have to put the notice in the form out. Because, you know, try in your backyard too.
So. All subcommittee meetings, you still have to follow the open meetings requirement for notice, even if it's not a form.
All right, so we'll have three on one, and then Paxton, Richardson, Ayers on the Monroe's bypass. And Brad, the reason I want you, that's going to be the economic development.
Yeah, no, thank you. I'd like to soon do a downtown one, but that maybe those two.
Yeah. The downtown would be the third one.
Yeah.
And then the rest of them are just.
Why don't we go ahead and see who wants to serve on the rest of them, too, if we're going to do all of them.
Well, let's just see who wants to do on the downtown, because I don't want to waste time on the other three.
Mayor.
Now, I'm for jettisoning, but so downtown with Brad.
I definitely would like to be on there. Obviously, I live
Steve.
In downtown.
So,
because it's economic development.
Anybody else? All right, so downtown would be Brad, Ayers, and Shaw. I'll let Mac know what we're doing here, and we'll set up time to go up and get together. And he's going to be on the ball.
I'd
like to be on the elementary school fund. That's my focus.
Right.
I don't care
about that one.
Yeah,
so I'm just don't try to be involved.
Yeah, I just don't think we'll make any changes there because
it's too late.
Yeah, it's too late, and then the rendering is so absurd that it's not going to happen. that one, it would be you and Heather.
But we don't want to jump on all these at once.
No, no. Yeah. No, the first ones, like I said, prioritizes are Monroe and Ottawa.
I don't have that kind of time. I don't see it.
Yeah.
But we don't want to keep on the back burner for everyone.
All right, well, I'll put this in writing and send it to you, Alex.
Sir?
I'll put this in writing and send it to you.
Thank you.
And then
and Mac will be able to go to each of those, correct?
Well, yeah, he'll be leading it.
All right, good.
You said he would be leading it. I guess I didn't really understand his role then, because I would have thought that he was kind of more taking input from us, but just kind of.
Well, you're overthinking the word lead then.
Okay, I got you.
Let's say that he's an expert in development agreements.
Okay.
That's the leadership part.
So okay.
He certainly, you know, the 4 hours I rode around with him, he didn't project which way he thought the town ought to go one time. He said, I'll do whatever the council does.
Well, I mean,
whatever the council wants.
And that really wasn't one of them either. I just was like, I didn't. When we had talked to him at Linda's house, it just didn't make it sound like that was kind of what he was signing up for. So,
yeah. He's the expert, so we'll use his expertise. All right, anything else?
Second.
Motion by Ms. Paxton, second by Mr. Scholl. All in favor? That's unanimous. Thank y'all.
I just want to let you know the meeting that I won't be here.
But you can't listen.
On Monday the 6th.